Romans chapter number 15, the 15th chapter of Romans. Romans chapter number 15. A few weeks back, we did a little study in Romans 15, the latter few verses of the chapter, verses 30, 31, 32, and 33. Tonight, I want to look back a little about right in the middle of the chapter in verses 18, 19, 20, and 21, and talk with you a little bit about the portrait of a missionary. The portrait of a missionary. As Paul was closing out his letter here to the church at Rome, he says some very interesting things, and I want to bring them to your attention tonight, and hopefully they'll be a help to you, and you'll understand when we get through with this study that in one way, we're all missionaries. Now, there's a special calling on a missionary where God calls a man, and He commissions that man to go into a particular people group and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ to them. And we have just got through with our missions conference and we met four such men in particular that God had called to go to a particular people group and to share the gospel message with them around the world. And we appreciate men who are willing to do that and their families who are willing to follow as God called them to preach the gospel and to plant churches. Paul was a such man. God called Paul to be a missionary, to go and to preach the gospel, not only in Jerusalem, but as we shall see tonight, he went full circle, and he preached the gospel, and he planted churches. And I want to talk to you about the importance of that. So if you would stand to your feet, and we'll begin our reading in verse number 18. Romans chapter 15. And we'll begin our reading in verse number 18, and we'll read down through verse number 21. You follow as I read. Verse 18 says, "For I will not dare to speak of any of those things which Christ hath not wrought by me, to make the Gentiles obedient by word and deed, through mighty signs and wonders by the power of the Holy Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and round about into Illyricum, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. Yea, so have I strived to preach the gospel, not where Christ was named, lest I should build upon another man's foundation. But as it is written, to whom he was not spoken of, they shall see, and they that have not heard shall understand." Let's have a word of prayer. Father, thank you for the word of God. Thank you for this time you've given us together. In these moments that we have, I pray that you would illuminate our minds, help us to see the clear teaching of this passage of Scripture and the responsibility that falls upon each of us from the Scripture that we have read tonight. God, I pray that you would help us to have the vision and the burden that this man had. The vision and the burden that we ought to have as we live in and as we go out into a world that is void of a knowledge of Christ, a world that is steeped in darkness, and except men and women such as we have the boldness and the compassion to share the gospel message, they will die in their sin and go into eternity without Christ. God, help us. Help us to hold the line, to do our part. Give us boldness to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. We pray for many souls to be saved through the ministry of Fellowship Baptist Church and around the world through our mission endeavor. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen. You may be seated. Now, in Romans chapter number 15, the Apostle Paul begins to round out and kind of close out his letter. And in doing so, he gets a little personal. And he talks about himself. He talks about some things that he has done and that he is doing. And in doing so, he mentions some things that I want to share with you tonight. He said in verse number 18, "For I will not dare to speak of any of those things which Christ hath wrought in me, are not wrought by me, to make the Gentiles obedient by word and deed." So what the Apostle Paul was saying here is, he's saying, when my ministry, when I went out, when I was sent out by the church, and the ministry that God gave me, he said that there was fruitfulness. And I want to show you what I mean by that, and I want you to think about yourself. Sometimes people think about missionaries, and they think about preachers, and they think about evangelists, and they think, well, you know, they ought to have fruit from their ministry. But God has called you as a Christian to have fruit for your ministry. And I want to say what I said earlier again. You know, you are a missionary where you are. You know, there, in a sense, we're all missionaries. Now, what do I mean by that? The word missionary means to be sent. Okay? It's to be sent. Now, Jesus said, as the Father has sent me, so send I you. And so we have been saved to be sent. And so you're a missionary where you are. Now, that's in one sense. Okay? So in one sense, and I'm not minimizing the other calling, the calling to be a missionary, but in one sense, you're a missionary. God has saved you to send you to a lost and dying world. God wants you to be a missionary. He's called you to be a witness, to share the gospel. He's sending you to tell others about Jesus Christ. And all of us ought to have fruit for our labor. Now, what is fruit? Well, we're going to see what Paul referred to as fruit here in just a moment, a fruitfulness. Now, Paul was, well, he was a missionary. God called him specifically. We met some men this past couple of weeks in our missions revival who were called of God to go to specific areas. And I will tell you something. I would have nothing to do with their ministry as a pastor if they were not missionaries where they are. Now, listen to me carefully. I'll never forget, some years ago when I was pastoring in South Carolina, had a young man come to me and he told me that God had called him into missions. Now, watch this young man. He never witnessed to people. He never had a concern about souls. He never showed up for any outreach activity, the bus visitation, the soul winning visitation time. I never saw him trying to reach his friends for Christ. And yet, here was a young man telling me, God has called me into missions. I watched him carefully before I eventually told him, I don't think that missions is what you think it is. Because if you're not willing to be a missionary where you are, what makes you think you're going to be a missionary somewhere else? Now listen to me. Getting on a boat and going to another place does not make you a missionary. Hear me now. Getting on a plane and flying to a place where people look different and speak different does not make you a missionary. Going on deputation and raising support and having a banner or a flag and saying, I'm going there to tell them about Jesus, that doesn't make you a missionary. A missionary is a call of God, where God calls you to go to a specific people group and tell them. However, if you are not a missionary where you are, you're not going to be a missionary where you go. If you do not have concern about the lost people around you, what makes you think getting on a boat or a plane and going to a different people group is going to change that? Now, there's many people that are mixed up and confused about this. Some people are only concerned about local. You know, they want to get everybody around them. They try to get them in church. Well, I think people ought to be in church, don't you? Amen. I think it's good to get people in church. But I'll tell you something better than getting people in church. Get them to Jesus. Get them saved. See, when a person gets saved, they'll get in church. That's right. Saved people go to church. That's right. Now, I'm not opposed to getting people in church because church is a great place to hear the gospel if it's the right kind of church. And it's a great place for them to hear the gospel and God begin to move on their heart and perhaps they'll get saved. Many people get saved in a church service. But you don't have to be in a church service to get saved. And so, you know, you can win people to Christ in their home. You can win people to Christ, in different areas, outside, inside. We need to get people to Jesus. So some people are just concerned about local. And I've known churches. They say, well, you know, we don't support missionaries. We don't support global, what they call global missions. Well, that's selfish. And it's disobedient. Because Jesus said, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." Now, brethren, you and I know that we're not going to go into all the world. We're not. We need missionaries to help us to be obedient to the Great Commission. Right? That's right. So what can I do? I'm not going to Spain, in case God calls me. I'm not going to Argentina. And yet I have been commissioned, I have been commanded to get the gospel there. How are we going to do it? As a local assembly. By praying. By giving. By helping send these people so that we can be obedient to God's command to go you into all the world. So it's not just local. And then there's people that are the other way around. Some people are global only. You know, they're always talking about, "Let's get the world saved. Let's get them out. Let's get them out into the four corners of the world." They won't walk across the street and tell their neighbor. Now listen to me. They won't come and go to bus soul winning visitation. They won't go to soul winning visitation. They won't visit people in their own neighborhood. So see, it takes both. It's in our Jerusalem and into the uttermost part of the world. And Paul, he lived this. And I'm going to show you in the scripture. So there needs to be some fruitfulness in our effort. Now, how does that happen? Notice there's a phrase that Paul used that I think is very, very telling. Look at what he said here in verse number 18. Right in the middle of the verse, he says, he made this statement, "to make the Gentiles obedient." Do you see that phrase? There's the fruit. You see, Gentiles were in rebellion against God. They were in darkness. But when Paul went through his missionary travels, when he went in his missionary journeys, he preached Christ unto them. And they got saved. Now hear me. And after they got saved, they began to be obedient to the Word of God and the will of God. That's what saved people do. Amen. Unsaved people are not obedient to God. Unsaved people are rebels. We're enemies with God. But when Paul went and he preached the gospel, these Gentiles got saved. Now, I like what he says here, because he said they became obedient unto God. Paul didn't say, "We got 500 professions." You think that professions was on Paul's mind? You think that really mattered to Paul? Paul said, "I want to see some people that will be obedient to God." Why? That's true converts. You think Paul was putting up a list of people, had 10,000 saved last month? Paul's missionary letters didn't read that way. You know why? Paul was looking not for people who said they were saved. Paul was looking for people not who walked the aisle and said, "Okay, I'm saved." Paul was looking for people who were obedient. There was fruit. And so there's fruitfulness. Now, we all want to see fruitfulness in our witnessing, right? When you witness to people, you want to see fruit. You want to see people get saved. Hey, can I tell you, not everybody that confesses with the mouth is saved. You know that. You know that. Faith without works is dead. And so Paul said here, he said in verse number 18, "to make the Gentiles obedient." Those are the ones who get saved. You know, when you get saved and you start wanting to do the commandments of God, that is a great evidence of salvation. Anybody can say they're saved. Anybody can walk up in front of the church. Anybody can jump in the baptismal pool, right? But when people have a desire to be obedient to God, that is fruit. That is fruit. And so there's fruitfulness. And Paul even mentions some things here. Notice this in this 18th verse. First of all, he states, okay, he made a statement about the fruitfulness. He said that it's obedience. Then watch this. He mentioned a source. He said right here, And if you'll notice, by word and deed, by word and deed, through the mighty signs and wonders, by the power of the Spirit of God. See, that's, Paul said, I want people to know that it's not me. Paul wasn't taking any credit here. He said the fruit, see, fruit is not manufactured, it's produced. And so when Paul began to talk about the fruit of his ministry, and here's what can happen if we're not careful. It can happen to any of us individually, or it can happen to us collectively. To where we'll begin to think, well, Fellowship Baptist Church is all that. I'm going to tell you what Fellowship Baptist Church is. What God makes her. That's what Fellowship Baptist Church is. What God makes her. That's what you are. See, we're talking about a man who said, I am what I am by the grace of God. See, when people get saved, whether you lead them to Christ or I lead them to Christ, we shouldn't be trying to take credit for that. All credit and glory goes to God. Notice at verse 18 what he said, for I will not dare to speak of any of those things which Christ hath not wrought by me. Paul said, I'm not even going to try to lead you to believe that this is about me. This is about Jesus. And so, brethren, when we're getting involved in mission endeavor, when we're getting involved in church planning, when we're getting involved in growing our Sunday school, when we're getting involved in growing our bus routes, when we're getting involved in the souls of men, we have to understand something. This is about Jesus. It's about Jesus Christ. And we must keep it that way. There's a part of us, if we're not careful, that'll want to kind of tie into that and say, well, you know, I did this and I did that. Well, God uses us as instruments, but God without us is still God. Us without God is nothing. And so we have to keep that in mind, okay? So there's fruit. You remember, there's fruitfulness. And Paul said in the ministry, whether this is talking about missionary ministry, people getting saved, people going and getting people saved and bringing them into the church. By the way, that's where it ends. Don't say, well, you know, I went out and somebody prayed a prayer and they're saved, and so my responsibility is over. It's just beginning. It's just beginning. When we get people saved, we need to get them in the church to be baptized. And we need to get them in the church to be taught to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. Isn't that what the Scripture teaches? That's called discipleship. And so I really get concerned when people or churches or groups start talking about all the people that they get saved, and I don't hear about a discipleship program or people trying to disciple these new converts, these new babes in Christ. See, it doesn't end when somebody walks up front and says, hey, I'm saved now. That's just the beginning. Now we need to line them up. We have these meetings over here. We need to encourage them. Hey, I'll go in there with you if you'd like. You get somebody saved, just say, hey, listen, we have baptismal meetings. And if it need to be, I'll go in there with you so you can understand about baptism and you can be lined up for scriptural, biblical baptism. And then when they get baptized, they need to begin to think about joining a church. You know, we live in an age, it's different than when I first got saved. Brethren, when Sharon and I got saved in 1980, we got saved. The next week we got baptized. We joined the church that night. All right? I don't understand people who visit a church for years. I don't understand that. Years. You get saved, you get baptized, you join the church. Amen. Why? Accountability. Accountability. You have a church family to be accountable to. Plus, spiritual gifts. You have spiritual gifts that God wants to use in that local assembly, right? Is that right, brethren? Is that what the Bible teaches? Yes, it is. And we have gotten far off base here. So Paul said this. He said there ought to be some fruit. There ought to be some fruit. And I'm going to show you how Paul confirmed that the church is real important when it comes to that fruit. And then my next word, all right? Faithfulness. So there's not just fruitfulness, there's faithfulness. Notice what he said here. Paul was a faithful man. Well, I tell you, we need faithful people. We need people that'll be faithful and consistent to go out and tell people about Jesus Christ. Not on a hot flash, like a flash in the pan, you know. I mean, they get all riled up after a charge of message, and they'll go out and tell three or four people about Jesus, and then they'll go 3 or 4 months without telling anyone else. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about a consistent burden, a consistency, where people understand that I am an ambassador for Christ. I represent the kingdom of God here on earth, and I am to be telling people about Jesus Christ regularly. I am to be showing people Jesus in my life. Now, Paul mentions that. Notice, if you would, in verse number 19. I'll read this first part. Through mighty signs and wonders by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem, watch now, here's the faithfulness of Paul, so that from Jerusalem and round about unto Illyricum, I looked that up. That is modern day Yugoslavia, all right? That's Yugoslavia today, which is right up against Rome, all right? So he said, through Illyricum, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. Now, what is Paul saying here? He said, I've been faithful. Now, I want you to notice where he started, okay? Look at it again in verse number 19. Where did he start at? From where? Jerusalem. Started at home. And that's where it always starts, brethren. That's where it always starts. You're not willing to do it at home, God's not going to use you in Illyricum. He's not. And so he said, from Jerusalem, that's where it starts. Now why? Because that wasn't that Christ's commission? Didn't Christ say that? But showed first unto I'm in Acts 26:20. My Bible verses are coming out here. Amen. Acts 1:8. Amen. I'll ring the buzzer here in a moment. Acts 1:8. The scripture talks about in Jerusalem, right? Both in Jerusalem and then in Judea, Samaria, and then into the uttermost part. So he started at home in Jerusalem. But then he said, round about unto Illyricum. He didn't stop at home. He had a worldwide vision, Paul did. He was faithful. See, Paul didn't care if their face was white or black, red or yellow. He didn't care if their culture was different than his. He just wanted to see people get saved. You see, Paul wanted to see everyone get saved. Everywhere he went, he was telling them about a salvation experience. Everywhere he went, Paul was telling people about this great God of his. Everywhere he went. When Paul rode up into town, he didn't ask where the finest restaurant was. He asked where the jail was because he knew he was going to end up in there before he left town. Amen? He did. You know why? Because he was not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. He knew that the gospel of Christ was the power of God unto salvation. And Paul wasn't going to let any set of rules or some man-made law stop him from giving the gospel of Jesus Christ. He had a burden for people. He was faithful. God counted on him. And he said, I'm going to do what God's called me to do. I'm going to tell people about Jesus. I'm going to tell people about Jesus Christ. Now, brethren, we ought to do that. You say, well, God hasn't called me to be a missionary. Well, in one sense, I realize that he hasn't called some of you. Now, I will tell you this. I believe with all of my heart, God's going to call some people out of Fellowship Baptist Church to go near and wide to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. God's going to call some people here that have been going across the street. He's going to call you to go across the state and some across the seas to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with others. I believe that with all of my heart. I do. Now listen, you want to find a church that God's interested in. It'll be that church that's interested in the souls of men. God will get involved in a church that gets involved in what God has commissioned. We want God's hand to stay upon our church. And so it would not make me sad if God reached down into this congregation and called a fine couple right out of this church to go and plant a church, to go out on the deputation trail and raise their support and go to the field of service that God has called them. See, that's what we want. That's what we're praying for. Amen. You say, well, don't we want to keep all we can get? Listen, that's what happened to the Church of Jerusalem. You study it out now. And they had problems. They had major problems. And God shook that thing up. Now, he did. And And God said, I'm going to start dealing with the church in Antioch. And he did. And he called out this very one, Paul and Barnabas. And they went out on missionary journeys. And they began to plant churches. Now, how's God going to use you in that? Well, you are a missionary here right now. And you are to work right within the area where God has you. And God may just reach down in this Antioch and call you as a Barnabas or a Saul to go out and go around the world and plant churches by preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, God will do that right here. You say, well, who would God call out of here? I don't know. But God knows. And you stay open to that. You stay open. Now, I'm not talking about something emotional. I'm not speaking to you about something emotional tonight. I'm not talking about you having this view. Well, boy, we're going to go over there. Well, wouldn't that be cool? Oh, it'll be cool, all right. It'll be spiritual warfare. It's going to be spiritual warfare. It's going to be work. Missions is work. This business of soul business is work. That's why a lot of people's not doing it. You hear me tonight? So don't think, well, you know, we're going to get on a boat and sail the blue seas and we're going to go over there. Man, that's going to be cool. It'll be cool, all right. Be like when Jesus called those disciples and got them on the boat and said, let us pass over to the other side. And what happened when they got over on the other side and landed in Gadara? A man full of a legion of devils met them. You think the disciples thought that was cool? Huh? But don't you worry. If God calls you, God will meet every need you have. And God will protect and provide. God, listen, Jesus took care of that situation there, and he'll take care of every situation, our missionary friends. And if God calls you, he'll take care of every situation that you face as well. Now, he will. So we have, first of all, we have the fruitfulness in verse 18. Now, every one of us want to bear fruit for Christ. And there's a progression, right? You've seen that in John 15. You've seen that? You know what I'm talking about, the progression? All right, there's fruit, and then there's more fruit, and then there's much fruit. See, it ought to be a growing process, right? We ought to be doing more for Jesus now than we ever have. If you're not, you're going in the wrong direction. Come on now, folks. So there's fruitfulness, and then there's faithfulness. Stick to the task. Be faithful, right? I like what Paul said here. Can I show you something, just a word? Watch the change here that Paul makes. And this is the Holy Spirit now. Paul made it, but the Holy Spirit told him to. Look, if you would, in verse number 19. He said, I have fully preached the gospel. You see that? Now, if you look at verse number 20, he said, yea, so have I strived to preach the gospel. Now, what's the difference between fully preaching the gospel in verse number 19 and preaching the gospel in verse number 20? You see it there? How many of you see it? Shake your head yes. The rest of you look down at verse 19 and 20. Because it's there. Now, what's the difference? Well, let me tell you what happened. Paul lived in a day very similar to ours in this respect. There were those who were saying, well, you know, we might not want to tell them everything because then it'll run them off. And Paul said, oh, no. The more they can know about this good news I've got to tell, amen, the more that they're going to want to be a part of it. And so there are those today say, well, you know, we're not going to tell it off. We're going to water it down. No, listen, you don't want to water down this great message. You want to fully preach it. Preach it all, amen? Fully preach it. Well, you know, if we don't make it appealing to them, they might not come. God hasn't told us to make it appealing. God's told us to make it available. Now listen to me. Make it available. God will do the work. See, you say, well, we got to get them converted. That's God's work. We're to contact them. God will convert them. Say amen with me. We've got this thing mixed up. You see, we're just to contact them. The converting part is God's part. We're to make the gospel available, not appealing. God never wants us to make His word appealing. We're to preach the whole counsel of God. We're to fully, the full gospel, Christ was pure, born of a virgin. Well, preacher, if we say that, some people may not believe it. Well, then God will just have to give them the faith to believe it like He did you and I. Right? That's right. Faith is a gift. And the gift of faith will help us to believe the full gospel, that Jesus was born of a virgin, that Jesus is God in the flesh, that Jesus lived a perfect life, that He died a gruesome death on the cross, that he was buried in a borrowed tomb and he resurrected from the grave, victorious over death, hell, and the grave. Preach the full gospel. Fully preach it. Don't water it down. Don't back up off of it. Paul said, I'm not going to do that. And we know he didn't. And because he didn't, what happened to Paul oftentimes? He said, I'm writing to you in my bonds. Right? Isn't that what Paul said? I'm writing to you in my bonds. Why? Because I wasn't willing to water it down like these other religious bigots around here. I'm going to tell you what God said. Amen? And brethren, you'll never go wrong by telling people what God said. Give them the gospel. Give them the gospel. Don't say, well, we got to water it down. We got to make it appealing. So many churches doing that today. Well, we got to play a little rock music to get them in. Well, my goodness. We got to be like them to win them. No, brethren. No, no. Listen, if people are searching, they're searching to be something that they're not. And so if we're going to be like them, they're not looking for us. They're looking for something that's a different, that's a change. And so we don't want to get into all that worldly stuff. Paul said, I fully preach. Faithful. Be faithful to the Bible. Be faithful to God. And then finally, look at what he said here in the latter part in verse number 20 and 21. Paul said, I want to go into fresh areas. I want to pioneer. I like what he said here, yea, in verse number 20. So have I strived to preach the gospel, not where Christ was named. You know, when I first read that, I got to tell you, I thought about places maybe in India or Africa. And then I began to think, you know, Sharon and I just, I don't know, maybe 2 weeks ago, I can't recall when we went to Dunkin' Donuts and met that young lady. I was shocked. There was a young lady working behind the counter. And I began to witness to her. She was a high school age girl, and I began to witness to her. And I could tell she was shaking. She had no clue what I was talking about. I mean, like zero. And I've witnessed to enough people that I can tell when people are familiar with what I'm talking about and when they're absolutely clueless of what I'm talking about. She was clueless. Teenage girl in Greene County, Virginia. All right? And so she was so shaken, she left. I mean, she just went behind the, you know, she was behind the counter, but she went behind this wall, and she came back, and I said, young lady, I said, do you believe in God? And she said, and I said, okay. I said, I don't want to put you on the spot now. I want to help you. I said, do you ever go to church? She said, I went one time. And I said, you've been to church one time? She said, yeah, I went to my grandmother's church with her one time. I thought, wow. You know, been to church one time. A teenage girl in Greene County, Virginia. But don't think that's abnormal. There's people all around you that if you mention the name Jesus, they're not going to know much about what you're talking about. We're not living back in 1960. This is not 1940. This is not 1980. This is 2017. We're living in an age where millennials are now in their 20s, and many of these people do not know who Jesus Christ is. The only time they've ever heard that name is when he was cussed and used in profanity or through some Hollywood perversion of who he is. And so when I first read this, and I don't want in any way be misleading here, certainly Paul had the regions beyond in mind here. And if you wonder where I'm speaking of, 2 Corinthians 10:17, he talked about going into the regions beyond. He talked about going into uncharted territory, new frontiers, all right? He wanted to be a pioneer for Christ. He wanted to go tell people that had never heard that name that is above every name. What a name, the name of Jesus. Amen. What a name. At the name of Jesus, brother, just think what has happened in history at the name of Jesus. And he said here, in verse number 20, he said, that I have strived to preach the gospel not where Christ was named. You know, that might be you telling somebody that's moved to this country from another country when you meet them at 7-Eleven tomorrow. It might be that person on the workplace that is from another country that is working on a job, on a project. It might be a neighbor of yours or mine. It might be that there's a lot of people that do not know what the gospel is. You say, well, now, preacher, I find that hard to believe. We're in Virginia. I understand what you're thinking, but I want to give you a test, all right? You take this test and you come let me know how it works for you. I gave this test right after Brian and Stacy got right with God, started coming to the church here. I asked them to do this, and they took me up on it. I want you to find five people between now and Sunday. Easy to find them. They're everywhere. And just ask them this one simple question. Can you tell me what I must do to get to heaven? You're going to be shocked. In case you go to a local New Testament, independent, Bible-believing Baptist church and ask those five people, you're going to be shocked at what people tell you. You're going to hear everything from keeping the Ten Commandments to doing good to I'm an American. I was born in a Christian nation. You're going to hear some things that you're going to think, oh, no. I'm serious. Really, what do you think? And they're going to say, that is what I think. You're going to think they're just pulling your leg. People have no clue how to get to heaven. Here. So if that's the case, could you just imagine what it would be like in other areas? Paul said, I want to go. I want to tell some people where Christ is not named. And then he said, made this statement, and this is where we'll close tonight. Lest I should build upon another man's foundation. Now, there's nothing wrong with building upon another man's foundation. What Paul wanted to do is Paul wanted to go tell people, and he wanted to be able to go back and visit these people. You know what I'm talking about? Turn, if you would, to Acts 15, and I'll show you what I'm talking about. Now, when Paul went into town, he had Acts 15, when Paul went into town, he had a system that he would abide by. He would go in and he would find the synagogue in that area, if there was one, and he would preach in it. And he would try to get the Jews to believe that Jesus was the Christ. He would preach the gospel message to the Jew first, and then he would go to the Gentile. And then he would begin to take these believers, and after they were baptized, he would try to unite them and plant a local New Testament Bible-believing church. You say, Paul did that? That's why we have these letters that are written to them. And when Paul would go back to visit them, he wouldn't go and just try to round up all. Could you imagine what it would be like if Paul did that? Could you imagine if Paul done like a lot of people do today and just, they go to the mission field, and I'm not belittling this, but I have no confidence in this. They go and they talk about all these evangelistic campaigns they have, and they get all these thousands of people saved, but where's the church, brethren? Where's the church? You got to plant a church so you can grow some people. Amen. You got to plant a church. You say, I don't need church. Well, you're in one tonight. So you obviously do. We all need church. You understand that. Church is vitally important. It's vitally important. We live in a society. We live in a world that thinks, well, church don't matter. Church matters a lot. When Paul went back through, look into Acts 15, verse 36, he and Barnabas said, you know what, we're going to go back and check on some people. Look in verse number 36, Acts chapter 15, verse 36. And some days after Paul said unto Barnabas, let us go again and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they do. Now, could you imagine Paul and Barnabas doing this? They didn't have group text. They wasn't able to send emails. Where do you think Paul and Barnabas were going back to when they went to these cities? The church. Why? Because they knew that that's where the believers were going to be. They were going to go check up on them believers. Why? Because they knew if you get saved, you're going to be wanting to grow. And if you want to grow, you're going to be a part of the local New Testament church that was planted in that city. And so when they went back to check on them and see how they were doing, they just went to the church. They didn't have to go and try to find and round all the, hey, so-and-so who got saved? And where's old so-and-so? They went back and checked on the church. They went back and visited the churches to see how the brethren were doing. That's how important church planting is. It's very, very important. Talking to some of the missionaries that just visited with us recently, Brother Tinsley and Brother Coffey, they've planted churches. And they realize when we go back, we're going back to check on churches. We're not going to go back and try to round up just people that are scattered everywhere. When you get saved, you're a part of the body, yes, but you're also part of the local assembly. It's very important. And so there's freshness. You want to tell other people, but when you tell other people, you want to get them in the church. You don't just tell people and they get saved and then say, oh, okay, that's great. That's where it ends. That's just where it begins. When you lead somebody to Christ, you disciple them. You get them in church. You help them to know the importance of being scripturally baptized. And then you help them to know that it is important to unite with a Bible-believing church. That's God's way, brethren. So there's fruitfulness, right? There's fruit. And then there's faithfulness. Paul could have easily given up. He was snake-bitten in Malta, right? He was stoned in Lystra, right? He was flogged and beaten in Philippi. Been easy for Paul to give up, but Paul was faithful. Now you be faithful. And God help me to be faithful. We don't want to be quitters. Let's be faithful. There's a lot of people out there counting on you and me to give them the gospel. There's a lot of missionaries around the world that are counting on us to continue to hold them up in prayer and financial support so they can stay on the field and do what God's called them to do. And God help us to do that. So here's some good advice from a great missionary. Amen. Be fruitful. Be faithful. And then have some freshness. Right? You know, go out and tell people. Go out and tell some new people. Get involved in some charting some new territory. Go to a neighborhood you've never been to before. Invest in missionaries, and we're wanting to do that. We've done it just this past missions conference. To my knowledge, we didn't have a missionary in Cyprus, and now we have a missionary representing Fellowship Baptist Church in Cyprus. Amen. We want to continue to try to do our part to reach all nations with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let's all stand. This thing of reaching people is important. It's very important. It's the heartbeat of God. And the reason that I felt that God wanted me to continue to preach on these thoughts and preach these messages is I don't want us to get to the place where we think some of these good people that we've met, they're solid. By them going, that it somehow releases us of the duty and responsibility that we have in telling others. Now, they're going to tell others. But we still have a responsibility to tell also. We're working together. We're telling here, they're telling there. We all need to do our part. You get to telling people. On your way out, get some gospel tracts. Get you about five. And this week, between now and Sunday, ask five people, can you tell me how to get to heaven? And when they can't, you give them, even if it's just for a moment, say, listen, on the back here, it'll tell you. We were talking to a lady yesterday, and I asked the young lady, I said, Sheridan and I were talking to her, and I said, are you a Christian? Do you know Jesus as your personal Savior? Her answer to that was, I go to the Catholic Church. That tells me no. Now, why does that say no? Because going to a church doesn't get anybody to heaven. See, I would have said that. I would have said no if I said, are you a Christian? Oh, I go to a Baptist church. I didn't ask you where you went to church. Are you a Christian? And so I gave her a gospel tract, and I said, on the back here, we'll tell you how you can go to heaven. Brethren, that's important. You ask five people. And then I'd like for you to come share some stories with me, what people tell you. There's not as many people as we think that know how to get to heaven. And many of them, unfortunately, will go to church somewhere this Sunday. and they still don't know how to get to heaven. God, have mercy. Lord, help us to be a witness. Father, thank you for the Word of God. And God, help us to do our part.